know all the dirty, unfriendly programming code, but you would know something about programming and still be able to make stuff that's cool and a lot of sounds and pictures and stuff like that. So what we're going to show you, it was a summer project of which that I was part of, and Samin and Philip were part of it too. And what we wanted to do was to we want to motivate people to program. And so we are thinking that if people would know how to program, then they would like to change the devices that they buy so that they would be able to, program them. For example, you might want your fan, that every day, every night it gets warm around, after midnight, and so you want to turn on the fan after midnight, and you don't want to get up. You want to program it so that it would turn on by itself. And so what we were trying to do was, we're going to learn the basic Scratch, but because Scratch is so popular, people wanted to change it. And so you need to change Scratch in order to be able to do those things. And so we changed Scratch, and there's something called BYOB, which does not mean bring your own beer. It means build your own block, because Scratch is made out of blocks. And we changed the block so that we can work with these devices. And so Samin and Philip are going to show you a little bit of what our project was like, what they were able to do, and you guys need to keep them distracted for a while?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Maybe I should tell them how things were working, right? So the whole idea is that, you can buy a programmable coffee maker, for example. We all started with a coffee maker. And when you buy it, you have this whole huge menu that you can use to, set it to start performing at a certain time, for example, which I think is one of the most complex functions of the coffee maker. And so we think that menus are very hard to use. We think that menus are boring, you need the manual all the time, and so on. And so we think that if people were with no Scratch, which takes just a short time to learn, we're going to make a very simple Scratch for people to learn, then they would be motivated and excited about programming and changing their microwave, their washing machine, their fans, whatever you can think of around the house. And so we just bought all these things. You can find them at the store. This is just a normal fan. This is just a normal lamp, which actually doesn't work. This is just a normal alarm clock and so on, a normal coffee maker. The coffee maker is programmable, actually. So it doesn't just work to connect the computer to them. So we needed something between these devices and the computer. And what that is, it's another computer, which is a very small computer. It almost looks like a chip. It's very small, it's this size, but it has everything a computer, the main parts of a computer. And so it's called an Arduino. And there's this whole community on the internet. You buy this Arduino and it's very easy to program anything. So it's like a computer, it's very easy to interface with a laptop, it's very easy-ish to interface with these things, because it's a more basic and hardware, hands-on kind of computer. It's very hard to get in that computer. That computer is very complicated inside. The Arduino is just exactly what you need. And so you can, what we did, not me, but other people in our project, was to pretty much look at the wire and disconnect the wires from the normal power source and connect them to this Arduino. And then the Arduino, the computer talks to the Arduino, and the computer tells the Arduino, turn on the fan, and then the Arduino, sends some kind of electric signal, which is equivalent to you pressing the button to turn on the fan, and so on. So, it's pretty complicated. It's not, it's our whole summer project, and these guys went to, actually, the Scratch, the language, it was so popular that it has a whole conference just for people coming in and presenting the projects and what they've been working on. And so they went to the Scratch conference, and they showed this project. And so they're going to talk a little bit about, are you guys ready today?
sleeping in your own room, your alarm clock rings at 7 a.m., and the lights turn on automatically. Coffee starts brewing exactly 7:15, and it's fully brewed by 7:30, at which point the coffee maker plays your favorite Jabba Jabba song. It is summertime, and the fan goes off to cool down the room, just because it senses the temperature is a little higher than normal. You go to your computer, check your email, and find yourself lost in a particularly interesting news feed. The alarm reminds you that you're late for school, and you quickly pack up and leave your room. The lights and the fan turn off. Upon your arrival, though, you find that the coffee maker has a freshly brewed coffee waiting for you. Lights and the fan turn off. Off.
They were on.
I mean, yeah. You pick it up and make your way to the computer where you again lose track of time. A couple of hours later, the alarm reminds you that it's time for bed. You ignore it and continue with your work. Another 5 minutes goes by, and the alarm wishes you good night and promptly turns off all the lights. You stumble into bed, wondering why you programmed it that way. So, I'm Samin. I'm a sophomore here, computer science major.
I'm Philip, sophomore, computer science major also.
And this is our project. We're basically combining, we're linking household devices to your computer, so you'll be able to control them from the computer using Scratch, which you're about to learn.
So this is Scratch right here?
This looks more complicated than what we're going to learn. Just so you know, don't get scared. Don't run away. Just stay.
Have they been introduced to Scratch?
I haven't used anything. This is the first time we see Scratch. So much.
All right. So over here in the middle box, right here, we have a space for programming. This is where all the actual code goes. And on the left pane are your available stuff to use to program, like your functions. Over here you can control motion, and so on the all the way on the right side is your actual objects that you're programming. So here we have like a coffee maker, lamp, alarm clock, and fan, and those are things that the scripts actually do stuff on. But in Scratch, you can also, in addition to like programming your images, you can also program stuff external to the program, such as like hardware. But over here we have the actual devices over here, and they're being controlled by an Arduino, as Monica said. And this is actually not built into Scratch. We made this on our own, the interface.
Alright, to give you a brief introduction to Scratch first before we get into that. There's different categories, like there's motion, there's looks, there's sound, pen, control. You can have objects like this coffee maker here. And let's say you want to move 10 steps forward.
Which is not going to move the actual coffee maker.
That's moving.
Is it going to move the coffee
maker? Well, yeah. Let's say you want to set time to move 10 steps to the right. Click on it every time, it's going to move 10 steps to the right. Then let's say you wanted to move 10 steps to the right 10 times. Then it's going to be 10 times a stop. There's a forever, so that it will keep on going forever, but I don't want to lose it. And you can have it so that when you click the green flag, which says to basically start the program, then it will move 10 steps to the right 10 times.
Why don't you show the code for the fan, for example?
So we make, it's very easy and very intuitive to get started programming in this language. So we made it very easy to control these devices using the language. After a few days of trying out the language, you'll see that you'll understand it really quickly, and it sinks in really, really fast. So we made these blocks similar to the ones you use in like sensing, looks, sound. And this is a block. What do you want to explain?
So, over here, we have any blocks that are C-shaped are control blocks. They control the flow of the program for like conditionals or like stuff that repeats many times. With the triangle edges, These are blocks that are true or false. They have a value in them that either evaluates a true or false. And the blocks that look almost normal, almost like a rectangle, but have like these indents on the top and bottom, are blocks that actually do so. They turn off, on and off fans, alarm clocks, and lights. And they're the ones that interact with all the hardware.
You wanna show one of them, like click on turn off.
So here's turn on the fan block. See the block on the fan goes on. When you click on it, you can turn off the fan in two separate blocks. And we also have alarm clock that you can hear.
It is on.
Yeah, okay.
It shows some time.
Alright. And turn on coffee maker, which works, but it has a little heat up here.
So we thought of, there's different things you'll learn to do later on. Like for example, Scratch has a sound sensor. So it actually senses like if it's loud around it. So like if you clap around it, and then this value, as Phil said before, the triangle shaped block, it's gonna have a true value. And the if means it's checking if it's true or not. If it's true, then it does whatever it's under. If not, it doesn't. Forever means it's gonna keep checking it forever. So it's forever checking if it's loud. And if it is, then it goes into another block. It's kind of complicated if you haven't seen Shrek before, but this basically says if the fan power is off, then turn it on, otherwise turn it off. So it's basically making clapper with any normal device.
You need to be really loud, otherwise it doesn't work. Nice.
We would show you with a lamp, which is kind of more intuitive. I see there are clappers, so we actually need to clap with a lamp, but it's not working, so it's ready to
connect.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah, so then there's a coffee maker and the alarm clock. The alarm clock not only makes sounds, which it doesn't right now, but if you run the program, So if you run the program, the status of all the devices are right under it. Coffee maker is on right now, the one plus off, on. Everything's off except for the fan. So if you run the program, like with Angry Flat, then you can set the time by just typing in the time over here and set time to hour, this, minute, this. You know how every daylight savings, you have to relearn how to change your clocks around the house? Basically, don't have to do that anymore. You just type in the time, and it saves a lot of time. So, it says 6:58. If you click the set time button, it's going to say 8:18. Yeah, it says 8:18.
It's not the final version, it's the in-progress version. You can also see there's a lot of wires and stuff, and you know, the alarm clock looks like this because what's underneath it is bigger than what's above the box and stuff like that. There's a lot of wires because they had to control every single segment. So if you look at the numbers, every number is made out of a few segments, and so they had to control. If you want to say, it's to say 8:18, you have to control, okay, what is the segment on, is the segment on, is the segment on, is the segment on, and so on to make those actual numbers. So there's a lot of wires in there. The hardware part is pretty tricky, but just, try to focus on the idea of, you can actually do this. You can you know, take Scratch and you can program your own coffee maker. And so they had a lot of, they got a lot of positive feedback at the conference, right?
The conference was at MIT and it was pretty cool. It was a proper paper.
Research.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. This is great. All right. I guess otherwise I would have to carry it, right? Yeah, I don't want that. Okay. All right. So this will hopefully get you a little more excited about Scratch if you haven't used Scratch yet. So today we're going to try to use Zipcart clickers for the first time. So hopefully this will work this time. So I want you all to get your clickers out and turn them on. How many of you have your clicker with you? Okay, great. Great job. Nice. Good job. Good job getting a clicker. Good job. Okay. Okay. So, if you turn it on, we're going to set it, I told you before, we're going to set it to a sub-frequency so that we don't interfere with other classes that are around. And our sub-frequency is dB. So, here's what we're going to do. You hold the on-off button until this blue light starts blinking. So do that. So my light is blinking now. And after that, I set the sub-frequency, which is D. I press D, and then I press B. And then the green light, there's a little green light that's going to show for the vote status. It's going to be green. And now it's all set. Yeah. It should not, unless they have the DB2, DB set, which is very unlikely. Okay? Okay, so, any questions? Yes.
Wait, so, will we still be able to use this clicker for other classes?
You will be able to use the clicker because you can set, actually you have to set up your sub frequency every time you turn it on.
Okay.
And to reset it, you have to turn it off. Fair enough? Sorry, I guess I misunderstood the question. Okay, so did everybody get a little green light here after they said it? Well, we'll see. So let's try to use this clicker. I'm going to start it. So this is what's going to happen when we're going to have clicker questions. If you haven't used a clicker before. This is just a window to remind you to set the sub-frequency. If you have, that's great. If you haven't, you know, set it. I'm going to turn this off so it doesn't nag us. So then I start the question, and then there's going to be a timer up there. And every time you guys click, you can see that the number changes. So you can all click, you know, click something. And very important, whenever you click, take a look at your clicker and make sure that everything's green. There's no red light. So the vote status should be green for a very short time if everything's cool, and it turns red if something's not going well. Okay? So if something's not going well, raise your hand and we'll, yeah. Okay, so what is the problem? Just red? Okay, try setting the sub-frequency again. So turn, do that. Yours it was red too?
I just died.
Oh.
I had to put a new diagnosis.
Okay, I don't know what to do about that. I might have some extra ones. I have two batteries that might work. Hold.
you need to reset the frequency. So you need to set it again if you turn it off. Yep.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, I'm going to do my CF73. Okay, you can click anything, the first click. So what the information I'm going to see is going to be your first click and your last click. And I'm going to take your last click, whatever you chose on your last click. So if you know, I'm going to click C now, then I change my mind to D. If the right answer is D, that's going to be credit. So that's going to be the right answer. So, you know, if you make a mistake and you know, have time to, you know, do your math again or whatever, the question, you know, if you change your mind about the answer, just change it, and that's, you know, the last answer will count, will be the one that counts, okay? Okay, everybody's done? So I'm usually going to say, okay, so I'm going to stop it in 5 seconds. And then you're going to have 5 seconds if you still need to click. So I'm going to stop it. And then I can display the answers, and this is what people have clicked. So we have 17 people clicked A, 20 people clicked B, and so on. All right. And usually this, sometimes I ask a question, and you see something like that, and that means that the class has no clue what I'm talking about. So when I see something like that, I usually know, okay, I need to go over stuff again, because their choices were just random. Maybe there are a few people who knew the right answer, but, you know, they just lost it, and, you know, everybody's very confused. Okay? So that's going to help me see. If, you know, if the right answer is, 80% of the class, so 60 out of 73 got the right answer, that's more like people kind of understood what I was saying. Okay? Any questions about that? So, again, always make sure you have a green for the vote status, and always make sure you have batteries. And usually when the battery runs low, the power light gets a little dim, so make sure you have that checked. So I close it, and you know, we can move from there. All right? Any questions? No? Not right now? All right. Any questions about Sakai? Okay. No questions about Sakai. Great. So I think most people have submitted their homework. I think at 3 o'clock, 79 out of 97 people, which is okay. You can still, if you haven't submitted it, there's still a little time. It's going to say late, and I usually take off points for people who submitted late, a little bit in the beginning, and then it increases as days go by. So definitely submit your homework later rather than not submit it at all. All right? So let's go into our lecture today. Okay, let's try this too. Okay, computer science is, in a word, summarize it in a word. It's A, programming, B, communication, C, reduction, D, automation, E, acceleration. Yeah, it's not working? Oh no. Okay. So I'm going to stop in 5 seconds. Okay, stopping. There you go. So when I see something like this, I'm pretty happy because reduction was what we said last time. So that's the right answer, right? I'm not sure what more to say about it. A. Let's see. What would people say A? Programming, right. So yeah, that's what people think usually when they think about computer science. They think it's about programming. So I understand why people have chosen A. But are there people who have clicked a different answer than C and have questions about it? So, you know, programming is a big part of computer science, but it's not what computer science is about mostly. Communication, you know, computer science, there's a lot in computer science about communication, you know, the internet, networks, those are a huge part of computer science, especially today. But that's not what, you know, computer science is about. Automation, you know, automation would be, you know, taking a process and making it automatic, like at factories, instead of having people, you know, pack whatever, toys. You have, you know, computers and machines packing it. That's not, again, that's, you know, a big accomplishment, but it's not what computer science is about. Acceleration, which is, you know, making things fast, is also a big part of computer science. Computers are very fast today, but that's not the main thing. But the main thing is reduction, which is, you know, taking a bigger problem and making it, you know, dividing it into smaller problems until you reach something you can solve. So that's what computer science is about. Okay. So that went pretty well. Okay, so last time, just a quick recap and to finish barcodes, we talked about an example of reduction, which are barcodes. And we said that barcodes are pretty important because if we didn't have barcodes, somebody would have to remember all the prices of all the items and everything. And so we said that there are 12-digit numbers, as we can see them on our... Okay, there are different kinds of barcodes, but the mostly widespread barcode is the UPC-A, which is a 12-digit number. And they are encoded with ink, which can be easily read by machines. Machines know the price, so it's very easy to retrieve a product and its price, and so on. And so we talked about, you know, this reduction idea. You have patterns of ink. The computer sees a pattern of ink, and what the computer does from that ink, it can translate into small ones and zeros, and we'll see how a little later, which are also called bits. Those 95 zeros and ones are actually codes for 12 digits, which we can actually read on our barcode. And we said that we only use 11 digits. The 12 digits is just a check digit to make sure that everything went okay. And so from the 11 digits, they get the type of product, the manufacturer, and what it is. And so here's how we compute the check digit again. We said that we add the odd number positions. So we have this number, and maybe I'll do an example again. Let's see. Anybody has a barcode? Another barcode? A 12-digit one? Positions, which are the first digit,
know this number, how would I find that out? So what's the
You just do the same method, but exclude the whatever you're missing. You should still come out to this, whatever the second digit is.
Okay. So we can do the apply the same method. Basically, we know that 3 times odds plus even, including the check digit, gives me a multiple of 10. And that's so cool. And so in here, I can say, okay, so I have the odd numbers, so I have, let's do this. Okay. So I have, let's call this x. X plus 3 plus 8 plus 7 is 18. That's, x plus 18, that's the odd ones. And the even ones are whatever we found before. 13, was it? No, 13 plus 7, which was 20, right? So that's 5 plus 2, 7 plus 6, 13 plus 7, 20. Multiply this by 3 and add the evens, and that gives me 3x plus 18 times 3 is 54 plus 20. That's 3x plus 74. This needs to give me a power of a multiple of 10, okay? So I know that 3x needs to end in a 6, right? So 3x must be something that is, if this ends in a 6, then maybe something 6, then that will give me 8. And it, you know, if 3x is 6, then x is going to be 2, right? So 6 plus 74 gives me 80, and then x is going to be 2, and I know that this number is 2, which is 2, right? The third digit?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Does this make sense? Okay, so you can go either way, but the general rule is this one. Alright, any questions?
So, let's move on. This is another example that I'm going to skip again. The point is that we talked about how, you know, what the reason why we need a 12 digit is because if there's an error in one of the digits, we would like to know. And so, now we see that the lines, the four products that were differing by one, the second digit was different, and the rest of them were identical. Now, their check digit is also different, and so there's two digits that are different, and so the probability of reading the second digit wrong and the last digit wrong so that they match together doesn't work so much. So usually what happens at this grocery store is that you go there, and you know, maybe the machine reads it wrong, and it, you know, the machine can compute the check digit and check that it has the right barcode. And so if it doesn't, if the check digit doesn't match, if the math doesn't make sense, if it doesn't get a multiple of 10 when it does that rule there, it's gonna, you know, it's gonna make a different beep, and then the person will know that they need to scan the product again. And then they will scan it again until everything goes over. Has that ever happened to you when they can't scan it and because it's scratched or that happened to me? Anyway, that's what's happening in the computer when that situation. Oh, wow. Okay. So now they're different by two digits. So this kind of math is called modulo math, which means that this kind of, I want to get a multiple of 10 here, right? So modulo math is normal math only when you get to 9 and you add 1, you don't, 9 plus 1 is not going to be 10, it's going to be 0. It's kind of like an odometer. It's kind of like if your car when you're driving, would only have one digit for the mileage? What would happen if you only had one digit for the mileage? What would happen would be, you know, you have, you know, it says 8 miles, and then you go 3 miles, and what will it show at the end? One, exactly. But you didn't travel 1 mile. You traveled, you know, 11 miles or more. But that's modular math, and it's helpful in certain contexts. So, you know, using modular math, you can write that rule that rule the way you see it there. It's 3 times the sum of the odd digits plus the sum of the even digits is basically 0 mod 10. And mod is just a remainder when you divide by 10. So when you divide a number by 10, the remainder is that number mod 10. Okay, so which is what the last line says. And that's the general rule of thumb. So what's the digit for the code that's made of all zeros? Zero, right? Yep. It's zero because it's going to give you 0 plus 0 plus check digit equals 0 mod 10. And the only way you can make that work is by your check digit being 0 or 10. And a digit can be 10. That's 2 digits. So that's not going to work. What happens if you... Okay. It's a little bit more extreme. So you have your code. Let's say 0, 0, 0. Well, let's say the normal code. Let's say that code. 1, 2, 0, 0, 3, 2, 8, 7, 6, 7, 8. Okay, you have here, we decided that the check digit was 6. Was it 6? 7. What happens when we add 1 to one of the odd number positions? Can we start with odd? Yes. Let's see if we add 1 to this position. Okay, what will happen to the check digit? Increase by 3 mod 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens if we add 1 to the odd digits? What we basically add 1 to this sum, right? Because we have added, let's say we added 1 to this 2, it becomes a 3. So it's like adding 1 to the sum of all the odd digits. So that will become 21. Then we multiply this by 3, right? And so that added 1 will become 3, and you know, mod 10, you know, so the check digit will be, you know, in this case it'll be 0. If it was 8, at plus 3 is 11, mod 10 is 1. What about even digits? What if we add 1 to even digits?
Add 1.
We add 1 mod. Yes. In this case, it would be 8. What if it was 9?
0?
Yeah. So we add 9. So adding 1 to the even digits adds 1 mod 10 to the check digit. Yeah, very good. Okay, so now you all know mod 10 math. Okay, so now how do we go from the code, the 11 to 12 digit code, to 1s and 0s? Remember, our goal is to make ink, right? So we want to have either a line or a space or a thick line or a thick space. So we have to go to zeros and ones, basically. So what, here's how they do it. They take A, B, C, D, E, F up to L. That's your code. That's 12 digits. And pretend that your first digit is A. So our first digit A, in our case, would be 0. B will be 5. C will be 2, and so on. And you turn this into a code that says 101. That's the code. Then you do the codes for A, B, C, D, E, F. Then you have a 01010. Then you take G, H, I, J, K, L, the codes for them, and whatever you see a 1, you turn it into a 0. Whenever you see a 0, you turn it into a 1. And at the end, you do 101. And if you have a barcode with you, you can see that it always starts with a thin line, a thin space, and a thin line, which is the 101. And it ends with a thin, it ends with 1012. It ends with a thin line, a thin space, and a thin line, if you have a UPCF code. Okay, so what is A, B, C, D, E, F then? Well, you just use these codes for them. So if A is a 0, you're going to replace it with that code, 00011101. If it's a 1, it's the next code, and so on. So you basically just translate it. So in our case, it would be, we have a 0, so it's going to be 00011101. Then you have a 5, which is 01100001, and so on. And so you take your first 6 ones, 6, so you take this. This is A, B, C, D, up to F. Then you put 01010, 01010. Then you take the G, H, I, J, K, L, so this chunk, and you compute the code, you replace it, but then whenever you see a 0, you turn it to 1, whenever you see a 1, you turn it to 0. And that's how they get their code. Okay? So that's how they go from numbers to zeros and ones. And ink, no ink, respectively. Ink space. Okay? So, you know, the reason why they chose these numbers, these codes, this is a very smartly chosen code, it's not random, is every single code for each digit will switch from 0 to 1 twice, and you can check that in the codes. So let's take 4, for example. So it goes from 0 to 1, it's one switch, 1, 0, two switches. Then it goes from the last 0 to the 1, 3 switches. I guess it switches from 0 to 1 twice, right? So it has a switch from between the first 0 and the first 1, and it has a switch between the last 0 and the second to last 1. And also, there's 7 bits, so there's 7 zeros and 1s for each, and it always starts with a 0 and ends with a 1. Okay? And the reason why you do the whole reversing the bits craziness is so that it doesn't matter if you scan the product like this or like this. The machine is going to be able to figure out, oh, this is a reverse, so it's going to reverse it. Okay, so that's how they're chosen. They're chosen, and then you have no reverse complements, which is a condition so that, you know, you can do that. You can reverse it, and the machine will figure it out. So how many bits do we have? And we're going to use our clickers again. So what does that give us? I'm going to go back to, let's do this. I'm going to start this. And then you guys figure out how many bits you need in total. And then I'm going to switch to the answers, and you guys can click. Maybe I'll switch every, no. Oh. Does that make sense? Why don't you all click something when you're ready? And then when I see 74 clicks, I turn to the answers, and you can click the right answer. How about that? Okay? So when you're ready computing the number of bits you need, you know, make your choice, click your whatever, something random. And then the second, so when everybody's done, I'm going to switch to the right answers, and then you can choose the right answer. If there's any questions, please ask. You want to see the answers? I was waiting for everybody to be done with. So I'm going to switch at 2 minutes. Freak out time. So in 10 seconds, I will switch. Does anybody need more time? Okay, fairly enough. Okay, so I'm going to switch to the next slide. This thing also tells me how many people have clicked. So it tells me how many, shows me how many people have clicked A, B, C, D, E. So sometimes I can give you a hint or something if I think I can help you. If, you know, people are on the wrong track. Okay, so I'm gonna stop at 3. Stopping. Okay. That's not very good, because P and AMD are very close. So let's see. It's a very controversial problem. Okay. So the code that we're making is the following. It says something like 101. Then we had A, B, C, D, E, F. Then it was 0, 1, 0, 1, 0. Then G, H, I. J, K. And then 1, 0, 1. Okay? How many bits is that? Well, we know that A, B, C, each letter will translate, it's actually a digit, it will translate to 7 bits. Okay? So, we have 3 bits, then we have 7 bits for this guy, then we have 7 bits for this guy, and so on. How many letters do we have? How many digits? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 letters times 7 digits, 7 bits for each. 42. Great. So this whole part will be 42 bits, okay, followed by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bits, okay, followed by, how many is that? Another 42, very well, followed by another 3. So now we can add them all up. That gives us 84 for the digits. And then there's some kind of filling before, in the middle, and after. And that's 11 digits, right? We have 3 here, we have 3 over there, and we have 5. So that gives us another extra 11. And that gives us 95 bits. And that's our code. Okay? Which was actually in the, you know, reduction, we have 95 bits, blah, blah, blah. It's okay, it's great. You know, you guys worked through it. And okay, any questions? Yes.
Why is it extra 11 bits in the first 3 in the files?
Yeah, that's so that the machine, well, so the computer needs, I don't know if you've ever seen, there's like a laser beam.
Yeah.
And they need to, they use this to figure out how thick a 1 is and how thick a 1 is. And then, so if you scan a product like diagonally, it's going to be a little thicker. And it divides like the thickness to, it figures out how thick it is. Okay? Any questions? Yes?
This is a part of the hardware, isn't it?
This is, well, so then these bits for each one, well, each one becomes a thin line, and each zero becomes a thin space. Well, there's no letters because everything's going to be bits here. So there's, I'll show you. All that thought. We're going to get there. Okay. So yeah. here's how it happens. Questions answered. So each, now we have 95 zeros and ones. So how does that turn into ink? What they do is they write a one as a bar and a zero as a space. So two ones in a row will become a thick, a kind of, not really a thick, but a double width bar. And two zeros are going to be a double width space in a row. You never have more than four ones in a row because of the way the codes are designed. And that's a good thing because if you have a lot of one in a row, they're so thin that it will be very hard to make a difference between five and six or six and seven. You will not be able, the machine, it will be very hard to figure out. There's more, you know, the machine can make more mistakes that way. It always starts and ends with bars. And it can read the code upside down and under an angle with various speeds. Whatever. Right? So that's how it happens. So let's take the skin cream that we started with. You have that barcode. You have those ones and zeros. That's how, you know, you figure out you can work. You have this on the slide, so you can go back home if you want an example to work with. And so, you know, if you look really closely, you're going to see the 95 zeros and ones. So this is the 95 zeros and ones. And you see here, you have a four ones in a row, and that translates into a thick bar. And then you have three zeros in a row, and that translates into a thickish space. And you have these are four zeros in a row, and you have a three thick space. Okay, so that's how, yeah. Does that make sense? Okay. Any other questions? So, you know, you've seen both the, you know, what the machine's perspective, which is from ink, figure out ones and zeros, figure out 12 digits, figure out 11 digits, figure out the product, figure out the price. And, you know, the top-down thing, which is numbers, 12 numbers, go to, actually product, go to 12 numbers, go to 11 numbers, go to 95 ones, zeros and ones, go to ink. So you've seen it both ways. Okay, so this is a little short summary. What we did was what the summary says. What the computer does is the reverse process. You know, it needs it to get the product and know exactly what to charge you. So that's it. So let's try this one more time. Your clicker's out. You have this code. I'm going to read the questions because people who are not here can listen to the lecture notes and they can do the clicker questions. So I'm going to read all the clicker questions so they know what the clicker questions are. So our code is 036000291 45, and we need to find the check digit. So choose A if the check digit is 0 or if the check digit is 5. So if it's 0 or 5, either one, choose A. If it's 1 or 6, choose B. If it's 2 or 7, choose C. If it's 3 or 8, choose D. And if it's 4 or 9, choose E. Yeah. Sorry, it's kind of hard to follow you.
There was a 3 at the beginning and 4 ones, and the 3 somewhere else, and not 4 ones.
I'll look at it. stop in 5 seconds. Okay, stopping. Okay, 2 or 7.
So what I got was so much trouble. Okay, so I got the odds were 14 plus 3, 42. The evens were 16. And then I did 42 plus 16.
So this kind of shows me that you guys kind of got it, kind of, most of you. So what was, let's go back to the previous question that I got. Okay, so can you say the question again? How come there are three ones?
In the beginning, there's the 101 that you can predict.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Yes. Very good. Very good observation. Okay. So what I said was the first six. Okay. The first six are A, B, C, D, E, F. Then there's some kind of thing in the middle, this thing. Then there, the next ones are reversed. The zeros become ones, and the ones become zeros. So maybe this thick line of ones has become this thick space. Because the ones could become zero and the zeros become ones. I'm not sure about that, but I mean that's what, if there's four zeros in three, and there's a three in the beginning and a three towards the end, that's probably what should happen. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Right. Think about it. Okay, so in the time that we have left, I'm going to start talking about programming. You saw the demo that we had, and the purpose of the demo was just to get you guys excited about Scratch. Because some people think, okay, why do I need to know about Scratch? What's so interesting about Scratch? Why should I know? And it's, you know, it's fun. I think it's fun to use, but it's also, it gives you the potential to do, to program your own house. And we're not going to do that in this class. Don't get too excited about it. But, I wanted to start talking about programming early in the class because, you know, I want you to get an idea and make sure, you know what you're getting yourself into. You know, that program was very complicated. Again, we're going to start slow and, you know, we can have office hours and stuff to, you know, make sure that everybody's on the same page. But programming has become very popular pretty recently. There's a lot of programming languages. So there's pretty much the difference between programming languages is on can be on two levels. One is just the difference between using different words for doing the same thing, and then there's also different ways of thinking about it and the way they run and so on. Any programming language that you can, non-computer science majors or
Java or HTML.
Yeah, Java is a good one. HTML is actually just not, you can't really program with it. Yeah, go ahead.
C++,
very good, yeah.
C-sharp.
C-sharp, yeah.
VB.
VB, which is Visual Basic, right?
Ajax.
Which one?
Ajax.
Ajax, okay. I don't think I... Okay, great. Yeah, can you program it? Actually, okay. Go ahead. Action scripts are, yeah, Flash and stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Cass.
Whoa, okay, what is that?
It's an event-driven software used for wizard AI programming.
Okay, very good. Yeah, go ahead.
Alice?
Alice isn't that a robot you can talk to online? Oh, it's a programming language. Yes, definitely. Alice is a good example. Yeah, go ahead, go back. Perl is that a program? I'm not sure. I think it's more scripting. Could be not really programming. Okay, very good. So there's tons and tons and tons, and I'm sure that there are, you know, everybody on this planet doesn't know about all the programming languages that there are. Okay, so Scratch has been developed at MIT. There's a group at MIT that developed it. And the purpose was just to make it very simple and easy for people to program. Usually, people's introduction to programming is very stressful, and it's a very hard and dry class. And so they're trying to, you know, try to do something to help with it. And so it's very cool. The Scratch website, I'm actually going to go on it. This is the Scratch website. I'm going to have to log in here. Okay, so this is the Scratch website. You know, right in the beginning, you can download it. It's really easy to download. Download Scratch. You click there, you can download your Scratch. There's a lot of videos that show you how to use it. There's this video, which is an intro video. We're not going to watch it right now. And then, it's almost like YouTube. So people make their program, and then they post it on the website. And you can comment on it, you can download it, you can see the code, how did they do, you know, if you really want to do something and you don't know how to do it, you can look at their code and see how they did it. You can remix, which means you take their code and you change it. Maybe you don't like cats, maybe you like dogs, so you have, you know, make dogs run around instead of having cats running around. You can actually see all these projects online. There's a lot of tutorials here. You have video tutorials, you can watch those to get you started. And so it's a very, you know, they try to make it as user-friendly and as easy as they could. And so the programming window actually looks like this, and I'm actually going to open it up. Let's see, I'm going to make a new one. And it starts like this. It kind of looks a little confusing in the beginning. Let me do this. Okay. So you have this, this is the stage. This is called the stage. And you have this cat. And it can be a cat, it can be, you can upload your own image, and you can make the cat do stuff. So what Samin and Phil were talking about before is that you can actually, you know, you can actually tell this cat or coffee maker or fan or whatever you want what to do. And so the way you do it is you have these. Basically, there's four windows. There's this. There's multiple, but there's this window, and then there's this window where you choose what you want the cat to do. So let's try to do something. Let's go here. This basically gives you everything that you're working with, everything that is available to you. So you can tell the cat to move 10 steps, and 10 steps is very small. But let's try that. You can tell the cat to move 10 steps, and then you can click on it. And the cat will do it. And, you know, again, this is very small. Let's do 100. And then click on it. And the cat moved a little bit more. Now, if you want it to move the other way, you can do minus 100. And then the cat will move backwards. Okay. So then you have turn. You can have turn this, you know, turn clockwise, turn counterclockwise. You know, you can point in a direction. You know, you guys can download it and play with it. You can actually go to a coordinate. So see here, when I move my cursor, you can see that there's an X and a Y coordinate. And so you can tell the cat to go exactly to this place. Like if you have a little house that you make, you draw, you know exactly where the house is, and you can go tell the cat to go to the coordinates of the house. And so on. Change, you know, it can change X by a certain number, which says, you know, it moves the cat on horizontally. You can change the Y by 10, which moves it vertically, and so on. If on edge bounce, like if it bounces around the edges, and so on. And here you can click these if you want to see its X position and Y position. Okay, so its X position is 80, minus 80, Y is 10, and so on. So you can actually, you know, use those to navigate the cat. Then the looks menu. What you can do is change the costume, and the costume is just the way your sprite looks. So if you want to switch the costume, let's see. Let's look for a different costume here. So here in this window, The telling the cat what to do, the commands to the cat, are under scripts. If you click on costumes, you can make your own costume like this. You click on paint and then you make your own whatever. This is a costume. I know it doesn't look like a costume, but that's going to be your costume. Okay, so it changed the way that your sprite looks. You can import the costume. They have a lot of. I'm not really sure where they are. I think I changed the settings and stuff. But anyway, if you don't play too much with it in the beginning and you click on import, it's going to open a whole folder with tons of animals and objects and, you know, there's a lot of options there. And then you can have sounds. And so, wow, that was really loud. Sorry. That's the cat meowing. I hope everybody's awake now. So you can also import sounds. There's all kinds of effects, like bubbles, like that, and so on. You know, I'm sure you know your creativity has no limits. And also, you can record your own. If you have a computer with a microphone, you can record your own sound. You can sing a song or something, and you can record it. Okay, so that's the costumes. I don't know if I like this costume. Well, we'll just work with it. And so you can switch to, you can tell it to switch. You know, if say, for example, you want to make a cat, and it, you know, there's a bomb. And this is kind of violent, sorry, but this is what sprite reminded me of. Say it walks to the bomb, and when it's touching the bomb, it turns into that. That's a little sad. No animals are hurt, you know, actually hurt. This is not, there's not a real cat that's connected to the computer, and no. It's just an imaginary cat. Okay. Then, I really want to change the, let's see, costumes. Okay, I'm gonna import myself. Okay, this is better. Well, actually, I'm gonna go here. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, this is more fun. All right, so that's me, and we're gonna do stuff to me now. Okay, so if you can say stuff. You can say hello. You can think, like, the think is going to be the think bubble. And you can all change these things. So you can say hello, hi class, for 2 seconds, or for 1 second, or everything is changeable. All right. So then you have, you can change color effects, which kind of changes the colors in the pictures. You know, so that may change the color effect by 25. You can change the colors, you can set the color, and so on. Okay, then you have sounds, and you know, it can be something like, let's make a little thing. So I say hi class for 1 second, and I play the drum for 0.2 beats. So if I click here, it actually runs, see how these blocks are, they have a shape, and you can match them. If you glue them together, they will, you know, if the first block is going to run, and then the next block is going to run, and then the next block is going to run if they're glued together. If they're not connected and you click on one of them, that's only gonna run the little glued blocks that are glued together. So let's do, if I do this, it moved and it said hi class and it played the drum. It's pretty straightforward. There's all kinds of drums, there's all kinds of instruments. You can say your instruments. You can actually write music if you want. This is pretty fun. You can draw, you can have the cat draw, you know, squares or whatever. So if you want the sprite to move, I don't really like the sprite anymore. Okay, well, don't let that distract you. So if I put the pen down and I move, let's say 100 steps, that should draw a line. Let's do 500 steps. So you drew a line and it kind of got off the screen because it was too long. You can set the color, you can change the color, the pen size, and so on. Now this is more interesting, actually. If you want to just have your command start when you click this flag here, you can say when flag is clicked, then do these things. And so let me erase this. Okay, everything's clear now. I'm just gonna move the... Okay, I'm gonna move back. Okay. Oh, the pen is still down, so it's dragging the pen with... The sprite is dragging the pen with it. But let's do this again. So when if my code looks like this and I click the flag, then what's going to happen is everything that's after when flag is clicked. So I click the flag and then everything happened. You know, you weren't able to see it because it was so fast. But and things happen very fast, but you can do wait between them. So then you're going to see what's happening if you do wait. Okay. Another very interesting thing is when the space key is pressed. So you can have something that happens when you press the space key. For example, I will play this note, which is note 60. So let me get this started. Now I'm gonna press my space key. And whenever I press my space key, it plays this note. So you can actually program your keyboard so when you're typing, it's playing different sounds, and so on. Then they have all kinds of stuff, like if you're touching the red color, if you're touching purple, things like that. And we're going to look into all these things. So if you go home, download Scratch on your computer and play with it. And also, I have a big favor to ask you all. I will send you a link to a survey. This is a general department survey. So this will help me understand better where you guys are coming from. It's a 20-question survey. It will take probably 15 minutes to do. I'll send you an email, and if you could fill that out, that'd be very helpful to me. So.